Well, good morning. As Andrew is helping me out here, I'll introduce myself. My name is Kirk Wolf. I am the pastor of Group Life in the Christchurch family, and it's so wonderful to be here with you this morning. As you've heard in weeks past, if you've been here, Christchurch is having their annual meeting at the Overland Park location. And it starts at 11:15, so we're compressing this service. So my budget, we're actually going to do some speed preaching today, okay? So, Hey Siri, set the timer for 8 minutes.
8 minutes.
Here we go. All right, so I want to jump right in. We're talking about actually the Beatitudes today. The call to worship that Nick led us in was from Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. And I think it's helpful to kind of level the playing field regarding the Beatitudes to have the correct kind of interpretive framework for what they are and what they are not. It's easy to think of the Beatitudes as kind of those spiritual requirements that you check off your list, right, as ways in which you can enter the kingdom of God, or maybe even prescriptive behaviors or spiritual merit badges that we earn in order to earn God's favor. But obviously, that's not what the Beatitudes, that's not what Jesus' teaching is about. He was not trying to institute some new form of legalism. Nor are they a form of apocalyptic idea. It will be in the future when Jesus returns to establish earth. So what are they then? What is Jesus' teaching in the Beatitudes? They are a description of what life looks like for the followers of Jesus as they attempt to live into and live in accordance with values of the kingdom of God. They're a description of what it looks like for the people who are following Christ to live into the kingdom and to the values of the kingdom of God. His teaching and the Beatitudes are the most profound and I think the most radical teachings ever spoken. They are a reflection about how vastly different the values or the ways of the kingdom of God are from the kingdom of this world. His teaching in the Beatitudes is also an indictment against the religious establishment of his day, but also against those same attitudes on to today. They're also a message of hope. They're a source of light and life and goodness and hope, especially for those who might feel marginalized. And we know there are a lot of them today. For those who are on the bottom, those who might be spiritually bankrupt. So before I back up some of those claims, I think it might be helpful to talk about what Jesus meant by the term blessed. Perhaps one of the most relevant terms that we would understand today is fortunate. Bishop N.T. Wright uses the term, it is wonderful news. And so let's not think of Jesus' use of that term, blessed, as an external act of God upon the life of someone. In other words, what do I mean? It's not God blessing you with grief or mourning. It's not God with being poor in spirit. No, what Jesus said, fortunate are you when you are poor in spirit. It's wonderful news when you are meek, when you are merciful. That's what he's saying. We'll talk more about that in a minute. So why is this teaching so radically different from the ways of the world? Why is it so radical to what we've come to understand? We see that in the audience that Jesus was speaking to. In Jesus' day, just as in ours, there were the haves and the have-nots, right? And the haves were the religious elite. They were those who had money, those who were in power. It was those who were well-educated and those who were at the top of the economic food chain. And those folks set the rules for the have-nots. How did they do that? They devised a religious society around the fact that around the idea that those who had education, those who were in power, were the ones who were blessed. And their status was a sign of God's favor on them. It was a reward because of their righteousness. It was a reward for good behavior, if you will. The problem is that the other side of that coin isn't so good. What they were saying was that if you were a have-not, If you were poor, if you were poor in spirit, if you were experiencing hardship, you deserved it. It's your fault. It's a sign of God's punishment for you because of your sin or your lack of righteousness. And so we can see then, you know, why this teaching is so radically different from the ways of the world. This wonderful news, who Jesus was talking to, and he was talking to the happy. He was talking to those who the religious elite said that they were not blessed and they were not even blessable, if you will, if that's even a word. And Jesus was saying to them, he was proclaiming with all the authority in heaven and on earth that fortunate are you because you can experience the blessing in this life. You can experience what it is to become fully alive in God's kingdom here and now. So there are two ways that I would like us to hear this message today. And we'll start with the hard stuff. Do we hear today, do we hear this kind of indictment, if you were, this pronouncement of judgment upon those who are on the margins today in our lives? Of course we are. Those in power and those who have wealth, who are telling folks that they are not blessed and they are not blessable. And it's that kind of rhetoric that says, you know, if you are poor, if you can't afford health insurance, if you can't afford an education, if you are suffering from the consequences of malnutrition, if you live in the kill zone of Kansas City, Missouri, it's your fault. Do something about it. Fix yourself. And that kind of attitude is the attitude of a religious elite that Jesus was talking about, that he was indicting with this teaching. And it's that kind of attitude that we've got to repent from. That is not the kingdom attitude, right? We know that. We've got to repent from that. The other way that I would like us to hear this is more, if you are experiencing right now, if you have little or no hope, if you feel that you are on the margins, either socially or economically, if you are suffering even physically or emotionally, if you are living a life that the world considers small or weak or meek, there is good news for you. Jesus says that you can receive God's blessing. Jesus is saying with all of his authority that you are fortunate. You are free to enjoy the fullness of God's kingdom now and forever. That's what this is about. Dang it, I knew that was going to happen. Sorry. The Beatitudes is a pronouncement of grace, not judgment, like the religious establishment would. They are pronouncement of God's grace and his goodness, saying, even if you are spiritually bankrupt or overwhelmed with sadness, even if you hunger and thirst for justice, God's blessing may be yours. Why? Because these are pronouncements of grace, but also freedom. Jesus came to set us free from that which imprisons us. No human condition disqualifies someone from receiving God's blessing, his freedom, and his grace. So when the world has beat you down, when the world has roughed you up, Jesus says, we have wonderful news. You and I may experience what it is to be fully alive in his kingdom right now, right now. Not because of what we have done to deserve it, but because of what Jesus has done for us. And regardless of our present condition, how good or bad it may be, all may receive God's grace. All may come and drink of the water of life, which is Jesus. And this is the wonderful news that we have. This is why we are blessed, and no one can ever take that message of hope away from us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this day that we can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do confess ways in which we have bought into the ways of the world, the ways in which we have passed judgment upon others, especially those who are on the margins, who are uneducated, experiencing very difficult times. We ask your Spirit to help us to live in the reality of your goodness and your grace, and to live in the reality of your Beatitudes, Lord, that we might offer that same grace that you offer us to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.